You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Christmas Dwayne.
Oh ho ho!
Christmas Niall.
Feliz Navidad.
And me, Scrooge Brian. This week we are covering anime that aired between Monday the 11th of December and Sunday the 17th of December, with the solitary exception of Bono Bono, where we are still 7 weeks behind, which, as always, forms a great segue into Bono Bono episode 31, untitled. I think it was called, was it just called Bono-chan? In the title.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway.
This one.
Like, this is the most Christmassy one because it was the nicest, not because it had anything to do with
Bono
Christmas.
Bono babies!
Yep, it was Bono babies. Yes, so this one we get a, as the description says, this is a story about my father and me when I was a baby. It's kind of really, though, about his dad.
As a single dad
having to look after...
And just panicking, like, constantly. I figured Bono was going to be a panicky baby, but it's the dad who's the panicky one, yeah. He does not know what to do with a baby. And his general panicking around Bono, or his, like, finding out what he thinks is a competent parent, and going like, oh my god, that's a brilliant idea.
So, does this mean the mother died in childbirth?
Well, in that case, like, nearly everyone's mother died in childbirth, except for the mama bear.
That's true, yes.
I thought, maybe I'm misremembering this, but I thought Bono had mentioned that his mother was eaten by a seal.
Well, surely everyone's mother wasn't eaten by a seal.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe there's more larger for her. There could be wolves out there. We just haven't seen them because they're, you know, they're, I don't know, not as funny.
And we also meet Baby Chipmunk and his dad.
His dad's still kind of a dick, but yeah.
Otherwise, it's just incredibly cute. And they just a dad panicking about his child doing things that he doesn't want the child to do, like trying to eat rocks.
Yeah, trying to just eat things, not knowing how to eat things that you can eat. I love these, like, shouting words of encouragement as he's holding his hand, trying to get him to walk, and he's essentially just dragging him along the ground.
My favorite bit is when they just attach Chipmunk to the side of his face.
There, now they can play.
Come by.
Yeah, it's good stuff. He's a bit like George from Peppa Pig in this, of being like the tiny child who cries a lot.
The functionally useless child, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Even more so than George. maybe if we put this rope between them, they'll play, and then Bono Bono just eats the rope. No, don't eat that.
Well, that is baby accurate. Seen babies? They're bizarre, savage creatures.
Yeah, they learn about the world by jamming it in their face. Well, you could say the same of us all, maybe.
Yeah, I can't remember how it ended, but yeah, it was quite a nice episode. If they want to do these every so often, that's fine, but...
It did feel like a bunch of shorts in this one, because they even had, like, little segments of Baby Bono trying to sit up and falling over. In a cute way, not in a... That sounds more violent when I describe it like that.
It's like an interstitial, yeah.
Yes. They kind of feel shorter for that, but in a good way. I was like, yeah, I probably couldn't watch an entire show like this, but that was very enjoyable.
I take it this is the thing you missed, Niall. And...
It is, yes. And I intend to get back to it, obviously, because it's adorable. It's adorable.
Well, you got a nice treat for you then.
it sounds good, but as long as they don't... really overdo it, like what happened with Wee Bear Bears, where they did one episode or two about with the bears when they were little bear cubs and being precocious little cubs getting into trouble, and then they started doing that for every second episode.
Yeah.
I lost a little bit of its impact.
Drove me off the show. I was like, I really liked the first six episodes of that show, and then, yeah, it just got tweer and tweer, and yeah, those kids, the ones where they show them as really little kids, it's just got ground on my nerves, and just drove me away.
I think this thing did the Bono thing well of, like, Baby Bono is cute as fuck, but, like you said, Brian, the episode is mostly about the dad, mostly about the parent characters and how they feel about things without ever explicitly being about them, because obviously it's told from Bono's point of view. Yeah.
Now, if we have the time over Christmas, let's see how many we can catch up on. And we'll just go, we'll just go up to whoever got the least far.
Looking forward to the next one, which
yeah,
is
I am as well.
Great Detective, which is like keeping up a thread that they started a long time ago where it solves mysteries.
Oh,
we'll
have the spooky music. Yeah, yeah.
And our other short is Shonen Shibe Go Go Gamachan, episode 57, Overcome the Brotherly Love Hold, in which finally a counter is discovered.
Previously on Shonen Shibe Go Go Gamachan.
He has been keeping track. I wonder if he only started keeping track when he had that one victory that one time.
I forget what this kid's name is. I'm just going to look it up on my list.
It's the Kata.
That's it. That's the boy. Yeah, so he's trying to figure out how to get past the brotherly love hold. As apparently this is he frequently has to battle a Shibe and fails every time. But then he runs into
Tendo first.
It's Akio. Yeah, but it's Akio Mal's uncle. Is the key to discovering the technique.
Mm.
As he discovers him deleting his... I'm hard-pressed to say they were his girlfriends. Maybe he went on one date
I think it's like a Tinder thing, and he's just...
Yeah.
Is swiping right the bad one, or is that the good one?
No, but he's deleting the things, and then it shows you...
He's deleting specifically from his phone book. Yeah.
That
yeah.
He'd got them all backed up still at the end as the punchline. And is it just saying, is it no love or no?
No more love.
No more I. That's it.
That was it. No more I. Yeah, the first parts were in English, but and that's the name of the new technique. So he can swipe right on the brotherly love hold. What actually does affect this?
Yes.
No more love is the name of like the martial arts school that this is, and then it has got different techniques embedded in there.
Yeah. All involving swiping.
Yes, no more love, a deadly assassination art.
Yes, because they also animate him as if he was a villain in a shonen fighting anime.
And he's been corrupted and everything,
So he has that purple cloud showing that he knows an evil martial art around him. But the punchline is that, yes, Akio had not actually deleted all these things. He'd still got them all backed up on his phone.
And so, he just deleted them off the main thing or whatever,
which had destroys his confidence, and he once again succumbs to the brotherly love hold. And then Akio starts crying on his phone and accidentally deletes.
Like, he's crying in joy. It's like, I do need love. Life is meaning again. It's like, phone deleted. It's like, son of a... Yeah, but he's a creep, so, you know.
He's a bigger creep than the guy who may be a flasher.
Yeah, the guy who may be a flasher seems to be sound out as far as... I mean, I'm not going to have an ice cream out of his jacket. I'm just saying.
He looks like a flasher. He seems like he won, but he's actually not. It's like, you shouldn't judge by appearances. I mean, that's a lesson in there.
I'm guessing the joke with the chef was like a comedy duo or something. I didn't recognize the names. But they were both wearing like matching tracksuits, and I was like, that's got to be a thing.
I mean, I have to say the Akio stuff and him getting the martial art has made me forget what happened at the start of the episode.
That's okay. That's like the main crux of it anyway, so.
What did Tendo do then?
Tendo happened to be trying to find out which leg was faster by running.
Yes.
And he's like, Mr. Tendo, how do I get strong? Because you're strong. He's like, perfect, the one guy I need to get stronger. And he's like, it's very simple, answer that question. Just be me. And he keeps running. Yeah, and it's like, I think the guy who ends up doing the sob is your man's uncle. Yeah, yeah. which was a nice change, because that poor kid did not deserve more crying.
Did anything happen with Sugiya?
Nope.
No, he wasn't in this one, yeah.
Okay, you're right here. And there is another episode next week, Gamachan the Helper.
Santa's Helper.
Oh, I hope so. I hope there's some proper. I may have to go through shows I don't normally watch just to see if there's any Christmas episodes.
Just go through the latest ones. Yeah.
Righty ho. Let's go into the main long full length episodes. Let's start with the worst looking thing of the week, Classic Lloyd episode 12. Nothing but saltiness. Lots of off model stuff in this. Some of it good off-model stuff, but a lot of it bad off-model stuff. There's some places...
It kind of works for it, yeah.
Where there's lots of comical reactions from people, which are further exaggerated because they're not quite on model. But yeah, there's also some pretty rough looking stuff. But yes, we're getting closer to there being some sort of plot.
Yeah, I mean, this episode has a particular plot, but it ties into the main plot that has, again, a standard classic Lloyd does not rear its head until the end. It's Wagner, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Or Wakun or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, episode 11, Nothing But Saltiness, I think I might have said 12. It
does come up in this that he has his disguise is actually quite good, apparently. Which I was great. I was like, oh no, my disguise. Well, and he's standing there right beside the hippo, and it's like, who the hell are you? Oh, you're that kid.
Is it a good disguise, or is everybody else just an idiot?
They're probably just idiots, to be
fair.
Well,
straight lean towards the ladder here.
Yes, because I think we can guess that Balk knows what's going on.
Right.
We've had very little of him in this entire series.
It's kind of like my plan failed. I'll just leave this kid to do his plan and see if it works, because fuck it, like, yeah.
Or maybe he's surreptitiously trying to fix him, knowing that he was broken.
Oh, because it helped fix him.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It definitely looks like he's more of a focus next episode, and presumably also in the final episode.
Because
it looks like this is only 13 episodes, judging from High Dive. Only listing 13.
Oh, okay.
But this episode is he's rebranding Klasky. He's sick of them trying to be comedians and going and playing.
Doing these local
festivals.
Shows. Yeah,
being
yeah.
liked by people.
And they're finally becoming, like, you know, decent human beings. And they state it out loud. It's like, whoa, I feel like I'm becoming a nice person. It's like, God damn it.
But he's having enough of that. So he goes and makes them work at a salt ramen shop. In order to learn how to be salty.
Is that like a pun in Japanese as well? Because it works pretty well.
I think it is. It even comes...
Oh, okay.
Partially from there? I don't know.
And I was also thinking with the thing is like, what's really popular nowadays? Nazis. What if they dressed up as Nazis?
Well, it is Richard Wagner we're talking about.
I know. it ties in there as well. I mean, like, not that he is a Nazi, but that the opposite Nazis like Wagner. Yeah.
I think in general, though, not just him. I think you can look at some of the other characters and some of their historical viewpoints.
Oh, I mean, like, go to history. Everyone's a fucking asshole, dude. Yeah.
So there's some, he's going for some sort of how would you say it's a sanitized S&M type look that he's giving.
They're going for the, what is it, Sundara? Is that the one where they don't like you?
No way, man. They're straight up fun doms. Fun dom.
Oh, no, I've got the wrong one. That's the one where they like you, but they say they don't like you. I mean the one that specifically doesn't like you. There's a different one. Doesn't matter. But yeah, they're going with that. They actively hate their audience and tell them what to do.
Yeah, and they like that. They enjoy being dominated and know what to do. It's basically implying that idol fans are just a bunch of simpering subs who just will go on with anything.
Yeah, because the script has an interesting swinginess of how they're against it, and then they have explained of how it works and how the audience appreciate them, treated them.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
All the classic Lloyds are kind of into it.
Yes, and so then they get on board, but then by the very end they're off board as well because Wagner is basically he's claiming all their fame for himself now.
Yeah, because I'm the one who done the rebranding. Me, the manager, and he gets like the page, he gets the picture and the article and that kind of thing. Of their rebranding. I did like the thing of the saltiness in the kitchen where what's her name was the one person not reacting to the saltiness because that's her.
Yeah, it's very soup Nazi, like the guy who runs the salt ramen restaurant.
He's doing it for a good reason. Just wants people to eat ramen the right way. There's only one way to eat ramen.
If they'd only follow my multitude of rules, then they could enjoy themselves. And I was just like, what a fucking line. Yeah.
Cap, save for later.
Yeah, I mean, I like the story. It's just it could have looked a lot nicer, but that could be said about 50% of this season's of Classicaloid, I would say.
50% of Classicaloid in general, though, right?
I'd say the first series definitely looked a lot better than this series has.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, some of those music sequences really pushed the boat out in the last season. I haven't kind of had anything
fair enough
on par with that now.
I mean, this one didn't even have a music sequence, so.
It did have the song, but it was just like straight up like the idol song. It wasn't like the bizarre music kind of thing.
Yeah, they had their magic wands out.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, your woman, she's already done her wand song, so therefore she can't ever use her music again.
Yeah, I think when she did it again last time, everyone just took the piss out of her. The one-hit wonder.
Anything else to add on this?
Maybe hungry for ramen, which I then got today. And
well,
boy, is it satisfying.
Did you eat it in the right order?
I don't know. I add things into it, like seasoned egg, fresh garlic, some fried onions, on top of everything that's already in there. I imagine Mr. Salty Ramen Shop would have been scandalized in my behavior, but hey, I think I ate it with aplomb. I finished the whole thing, as I always do.
On to the next slightly wonky-looking episode of an anime. Inuyashiki Episode 10, The People of Tokyo.
Less wonky, I think.
I mean, there's some really good animation in this and some
there
wonky
is.
Animation.
And there is some fucking atrocious animation.
Well, they got to CG all that, all those roads and everything. Yeah.
But God, it's probably hard work to one try and put that kind of choreograph that massive kind of chase underneath, like along all these like kind of busy highways in between buildings and stuff like that, like on a TV schedule and get it out to look similar. But it was really going into this nearly PS2 cutscene. And I won't even say PS3 cutscene, PS2 cutscene.
It's a bit harsh, but yeah, I liked a lot of the setup for it. Like I like, you know, the superhero one guy not throwing a car but driving a car into another guy, and the other guy like making the and not grabbing the car and not throwing it back, like putting it safely back on the road. I was like, that's nice. That's totally an Inuyashiki kind of thing.
And
but I like the choreography of it, but the look of it less so.
I take back what I said about I'm not sure them having enough time to finish it, because they did about 13 chapters in this episode.
Yeah, it seems like it's going
to it was a big fight. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
There's 15 chapters left.
Oh,
there's 15 chapters left?
Yes.
For the next episode?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, we've had, like, you know, it's been going nearly at some of that place for some of the early episodes where, like, just they've been out for actually multiple chapters, which is surprising because they were quite, seems like a standard content to fill one episode. But to read that must have been, again.
Hey, do you want to read about this sad old man's life? I mean, like, eventually he'll be a robot, I swear. I swear to God.
I imagine reading that weekly. It's like this guy, this kind of, your family hates you. You're fine, getting a hard time at your job. Next week, you get cancer.
Like, well, this fucking manga sucks.
Why did I read this on the way to work? No, I should never.
But yeah, this episode is a lot of Inuyashiki saving people and also fighting Hiro, and Hiro going, am I the villain?
Oh, his fucking thing was like, oh, I only feel alive when I save people. And it's like, oh, so you only feel alive when you kill people. And he's like, oh, geez, I guess I'm the bad guy. It's like, no shit, motherfucker. You wander into people's houses and murder them. You killed shitloads of policemen. What do you think you are?
I thought he was just kind of just stating it, I know, as a kind of matter of fact way. It's like, when we are two sides of the same coin, you and I. You know, then later on, when he's kind of keeps going back to that point, he seems actually legitimately taken aback. Wait a minute, am I the bad guy?
It's not until he sees the guy who's the good guy, who's like this nice old dude who just helps people, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm evil.
Well, I massacred all those innocent people to make a really good point. Did you stop getting on the phones?
And we sorted out whether he had actually saved your girl and...
Yeah.
Yes, he had. because we see her looking at what's going on from many, many miles away. So he clearly wasn't hallucinating her over that side.
Hmm.
Still fairly harrowing stuff going on there, because it wasn't enough that we had one plane go down in the middle of the city.
Oh, God, dude, he's just
fucking conducting them like an orchestra conductor, just run down out of the sky.
Yeah, all their engines kind of gone. They're just sort of dropping kind of thing.
I did like how Inuyashiki got the second wave to ground by guiding them like a bird.
So initially he's carrying the plane like Superman when its fucking wing goes out kind of shit. And then it's like he's just kind of like pulling them in after him onto the beach, I think it was.
Yeah, because he's controlling them in the same way, because he's basically saying, remember how you control the radio control car?
Yeah, yeah. Like, his is such like a softer and more gentle approach than just turn off all their engines. Yeah.
And then they get into a fight because he's trying to go and save his daughter because she's trapped inside a building.
Yeah, he doesn't even want to fight. It's just like, please, I got to go save my daughter. Can we not fight right now? She was in a plane that got, or in a building that got hit by a plane, yeah.
But they go at it, manage to knock each other unconscious, and then it just gets worse as the automated defense systems just...
Because they're better at fighting.
Yeah.
Was it Inuyashiki who pulled down that satellite, or was it him? I figured because he saw it earlier.
Yeah, he's basically using it as a distraction so he could get and then basically pull half his head off and rip his limbs off.
Yeah. Fucking horrible, but good. Fuck that guy.
I don't care.
No, it's just kind of like really horrible, just ripping off the back of his head and pulling off his arms and shit. But yeah. He's a piece of shit. Why not?
The serious heat run done with this guy. I think, any point that could be made about him was made like half the series ago. And
yeah.
Anything else has just been to reinforce how much of a fucking...
If he'd murdered one family, I get it. He's the baddie. This is bad.
Yeah.
One Piece is bad. I get it, dude. Come on.
I delved into that and, it was kind of unsettling, to kind of be inside the mind of someone like that. But then,
In this episode, it feels like I'm supposed to feel sympathy for him. I was like, well, I mean, that looked painful, but fuck him. He's literally murdering hundreds of people.
Just wait till next episode.
Everyone's going to die by the meteor.
Yeah, bro. Well, I made for, at the end of this, where he usually does get the kind of say some people, and it's good you got to save whoever got survived, and that. But it's at the same time, a lot of planes crashed out into the city over the course of this day. A lot of planes.
Oh no, a lot of people still died, no matter how many he freaking saved in the end and went around it. Everyone kind of going like, "Oh crap, is that God going around saving people?"
Yeah, I wonder how many pages that of him trying to resuscitate his daughter there is in the comic, because it takes up a massive chunk of the episode.
I was like, this, if they don't let him get his daughter back, that's really bad.
I was ready for them to kind of go that way.
It seems like a way they would go. Yeah,
and it was kind of harrowing that this always just go on, and and there's some great acting there as well. He's fallen to bits, and he's he's trying, and then he kind of gives up, and then he's kind of getting up and walking away. But he can't give up. He keeps going again, even though he probably knows in his heart, it's not going to work, but I gotta try it anyway. And it's capturing the kind of grief of a fucking parent who's lost their child, and they're just kind of lost, leaving their senses temporarily over
the fucking... Yeah, but because of who, made the comic, I was really worried he was going to, turn the chest compressions into just collapsing her fucking rib cage or something. You know what I mean? I'm just like, because I know you're a horrible motherfucker. And you would do something like that. I was just prepared for the worst possible outcome, you know? But so it was nice to get the good end, I guess.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how much they'll polish up the animation for.
Right, yeah.
Media release. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily sure I'm in a hurry to rewatch it either.
Sure.
Right, next.
Oh, hang on. On a side note, that's what I mentioned there. Kind of at the close of this, with Inuyashiki, he's saved his daughter, and he's going to go around and help anybody else he can, and the daughter to go home to his family. And then, the wife and the son are kind of outside the house, and then Mario arrives home, and it's like, where have you been, huh? And
the fuck's going on? Where's
unconcerned.
Dad?
Where's your father? Is he going to miss dinner again? I'll fucking give him a hiding. And it's like, do you know what's going on? You can see if you stand out in the street that there's some kind of massive conflagration going on in downtown Tokyo.
She hates her husband, and the other kid hates his dad. So, I mean, like, I don't think they care for other humans. They probably all be one piece anyway, fuckers.
Righty ho. Next up, Mr. Osomatsu, episode 11, Shibata's Revenge, in which the brothers make him lose his last hair on his head. And so he gets his revenge by creating a terrible weapon of hair destruction.
I was hoping he just straight up murdered them all.
and shaving each brother one by one bald for the entire episode. It's basically a horror movie.
Yeah.
The sort of horror movie where you want to see the the people being attacked get their just desserts.
Yeah, well, kind of like the modern horror movie where they make you really hate the cast. They've already established that everyone in this is an asshole.
more like the actually very old kind of slasher films where we had the fucking rambunctious teenagers who were fucking raising all kinds of hell and just being pieces of shit until you wanted to get killed by Jason Voorhees or what have you.
Yeah.
But then delivers a punchline at the end, which turns Chibita into a terrible hypocrite.
Yes! Oh, it's wonderful. Like I said, everyone's an asshole. great stuff.
But yeah, it's not so much that they made him bald, is that they hadn't realized he still had some hair left in the first place.
And that he considered himself not bald because of the single hair left on his head. What do they call that? The Bill Bailey? I'm not bald. I have very long hair.
I haven't got much hair, but the hair I have is pretty good.
Yeah. I liked his little I'm about to murder you, shave you song as well. Suitably kind of scary.
Anything else to Andrew?
really nice kind of animation cuts there when it gets down.
Oh yeah, yeah, just really well put together.
They're out there on the street and he's been hunting them down, and then like the guy's been throwing shit and trying to fend them back, and then just pull out like a fucking rocket launcher, and then even that was happening, but it was a kind of cool explosion and some nice kind of smoke effects there. He dives out, but the pounce on the Choramatsu and finish him off.
They got a few like bits in the. They got the final confrontation in New York, that kind of thing. and obviously, the rest of the cast are also assholes. I don't know why they thought Iyami would save them. I'm like, that's the last guy.
It was weird seeing Iyami actually living in a house, though.
Yeah, he seemed to be embarrassed about having a wife and everything. It's just
maybe he was calling on his lady friend there, and that was her house.
Ah, possibly. Yes.
That's true, yeah.
Having said that, that's also pretty weird. But it's probably more believable than any of the brothers having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because he's from France.
And he lives under a bridge, yeah.
right up. Next on my list, I've got The Ancient Magus' Bride, episode 11, Lovers Ever Run Before the Clock, in which we get some more flashback or storytelling.
And Ilias is sad.
He is. He buries a tiny bird.
It kind of opens on that where he's sitting in the study or the sitting room, and then like Silky comes in and kind of bends and picks something up that we don't see yet, but you have a feeling.
He doesn't react to it, yeah, so...
And then we're back with Lyndall and Chise to get the rest of that story he was telling her last episode.
Yeah, I guess that's the equivalent of like hanging up a corded phone really hard. I mean, like, it's a bit cruel, yeah. But
it's like it's showing like, you know, for this like, you know, this skull faced guy who's, you know, very analytical, almost kind of just. Doesn't kind of have great shows of emotion. That's just the thing. These fun guys on the bird phone saying that, well, hey, You gotta fucking knock off the shit you're doing. You're going to fucking wreck everything for that girl. And he just obviously had this an outburst against that.
And and to imply that rather than show it, I think it was a lot better. And especially from things that we learn in this episode, it kind of changes the implication of acting in rage for him. Because what is it? A flashback to where they're trying to get some extra food by going into a town and cure some townsfolk.
Yes.
At some point in the past, it's still impossible to know. People are in log cabins.
But somebody, you know, like one of the children, you know, can see the spirits, and it's like, there's a fucking monster in that guy's shadow, and then they get chased out there by an angry mob.
And of course, it should be noted that this girl who can see it is redheaded as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Didn't realize that one of them was a seer, I think he said. And well, the townsfolk,
sight, I think, is what how they just,
I think that's how he says it.
He has the gift.
Yes. And yeah, so they quickly grab all their pitchforks and chase.
Yeah, they were up and like they must have had those pitchforks and torches just waiting, like in a row. Just grab your pitchforks and chase motherfuckers out of town
to the mob shack. yes, and so to protect them, he goes berserk, and turns into the monstrous form.
Doesn't teleport them away. He moves them into like the world of the gods or something, the forest gods,
something like that. Yes, this is where the forest gods live.
Now we need to get the fuck out of here.
Elias kind of admits that I think I might have eaten humans before.
It's like, oh, I didn't know I was not supposed to eat those. Sorry. And then his master kind of reacted and is like, I bet I taste good, but don't eat me. Kind of like as a way to try and downplay.
But yeah, I like Lindell admitting in the modern day of how he was just trying to end the conversation as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's like, let's not talk about this anymore. You probably shouldn't mention this to folks. And maybe that's why he shuts up about himself. Because it's like, hey, I'm a monster, and I have monstrous urges, if you couldn't tell from the giant skull face, and sometimes turning into a monster, that he was a monster. But yeah, keep him quiet about it, that'll do the trick.
Yeah, it's a novel day that's kind of getting to the bottom of why he kind of is the way he is. He is,
yeah,
like he has like a great, like, you know, he's a sentient being, he's got a great kind of capacity for intelligence, but he really just kind of takes in and absorbs and emulates the behavior and things of whatever he sees. And that's kind of backed up there when Lindell wakes up and says, oh, like, shoot, for making food, never seen him make food before. Well, I've seen you, like, do this before.
And this is after he ties the twigs together in order to show them the way out. It's like, if he sees something, he can recreate it again, the copying thing.
He can recreate it, but it says, like, the food he made, you know, it was terrible. Which it says, like, he can see things, like, I don't know, kind of copy them, but he might not necessarily kind of do them right or know, like, kind of what they mean and what they're for. He's not kind of, he might be able to do it, but he doesn't understand it.
Yeah. So it's maybe like that we're kind of seeing him learn empathy and that kind of thing. Maybe this is something he's picked up along the way. Yeah.
So this whole thing we've seen with his interactions with Chief, say, for like rest of the series now, he's seen like what a how he's supposed to treat a bride or whatever like that, no, or that, or like, no, he's read about it in the book, what you're supposed to do.
This is why he does the honeymoon before the proposal kind of thing.
It's the way, you know, this is the way it's done in the books, so I'll just do it, and there's nothing to kind of back it up. But the kind of breakthrough we're kind of seeing here is that this is having a greater effect on him, you know, and he's not just kind of going through the motions as he has done for everything for his life. Chisa is having a profound effect on him, where he's kind of, he's feeling something, you know, and
he doesn't know really what to do with that yet.
But it's also about Chisa not opening up herself and telling anybody about her past.
And it makes the allusions to the shit that went down. It's like, you know, he's like a monster who had people, right? Are you cool with that? I tell you what, don't tell me, tell him. But she's, from her thing, it's like, yeah, I know people have a capacity to be monsters. That's not, you're not telling me anything new here, buddy.
And you're supposed to finish off your wand while having a conversation with yourself.
And I like the way the dog looked at her. It was like, you're supposed to talk to yourself. Don't talk to me.
Not,
The dog gives some fucking like grade A side eye in this episode.
And then at the end they go, hey, do you want to go and see some elves? I know where some elves are. You can go and have a look at some elves. Come and have a look at some elves with me. I'll
check it out. I got magic singing.
Yeah.
I'm actually singing this song that's playing right now. It's pretty good, right?
While I'm talking, having a separate conversation.
Is that good?
Well, he just like playing the sample, though. He just like just sings a little bit.
It's like the Reggie Watts magic, of magic. Yeah,
the magic will do the rest.
Yeah, but there's a key bit here of him, like him considering Shisei and Elias like the children he's somehow ended up with.
Yeah,
the comparison where they're both like emotionally distant and don't tell people what they're feeling and thinking and don't tell people their mysterious pasts and that kind of stuff. It was like, yeah, they're kind of good for each other, I think.
This is all kind of new to them, you know?
Yeah.
They've never encountered this, so it has this guy's got problems, but this is a level of affection and attention that they've never really experienced before in their whole lives, so...
Yeah.
It'll make it look strange from the outside and very off-putting to everybody else, as is, again, thankfully, repeatedly addressed by other characters. But
yeah,
for them, it works. It's something that is...
It's certainly something they have in common anyway, so yeah. they can kind of get each other without explicitly needing to say anything out loud.
Yeah. Well, and then they kind of do say it out loud a bit when
she
accidentally calls Elias on the water phone.
It's like, it's like, hey, did you butt down me on the water phone? Oh, yeah, not magic.
Oh, sorry.
Is that motherfucker singing again? it's good stuff, yeah. And they're kind of like, oh, it's weird. The house is cold without you. I put on the fire and fucking, you know, it's kept the draft away, but fucking... Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. What's up with that?
It's not that I like you, Ryan.
What are these human emotions? Yeah.
Also, Selkie has a tambourine.
Nice.
Or something similar. A little drum, at least.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's because the Selkie's just dancing around, but it's like, oh, I should have probably told you. I got magic singing.
Yeah.
That's why my familiar's dancing.
That's why these elves are going to show up and ask you to dance.
Hmm.
Also, I quite like how clearly there's a similar relationship between Lindell's master and him, in that she's probably treating Lindell like her child. But,
yeah. Mm.
She, like, at the start of the episode, she kind of mysteriously disappears as much as she, like, appeared, even more so, because all of a sudden they're in the woods where they started.
Yes.
But it's kind of like, oh, I'll just leave you off then. You guys take care of it, you know. And it's like, motherfucker.
But at the same time, that's clearly supposed to help Lindell's development as a person just as much as he's going to help Elias.
Yeah, it was
all good. All a good show, good episode, and probably the best looking episode so far.
It looked fucking great. It looked great. Dancing's the dance, the elving dance, like on the surface of the lake, and all, and everything around that was fucking great. But there was some lovely backgrounds there when you're seeing Lyndon and Elias and their travels together. This is fucking gorgeous all the way through. I really loved it.
Like, I neglected to mention when Shisei fell into the water and there was like this giant water dragon in there, and I was just like, what the fuck is that? That thing looks amazing. It's like, don't worry, that's not a thing in this episode. It's that good looking an episode that I forget details like that.
And that's a good callback as well, because the last time she fell underwater in this exact location, she just fucking was so, like, still down on herself that she just wanted to sink to the bottom. But she just kind of once falls in the water, there's a water dragon here, and she just wants to swim to the surface and saying, dude, there's a fucking kick-ass water dragon there. Have you seen this?
Yeah, she's excited, and it's like, this thing is amazing, and I'm happy to be living, obviously.
Well, I did like Lindell's, how you always fall into water.
Yeah, his experience has been mostly her falling into water, yeah.
Rightio, the other thing which looks consistently good and looked great again this week, Magical Circle Guru Guru.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 23, Battle, Giri's Castle, in which a load of stuff was cut out from the comic and some stuff rearranged. Annoyingly so. If it doesn't show up in the next episode, I shall probably stick some shots on Twitter of Adberg's magical items that he gets in the comic.
Oh, but fun! I think it's enough.
It has a lot of good in it, though.
It's great that, like, you know, he provides the diversion by doing the fucking Tupac hologram concert for the monsters.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say the Hatsune Miku, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, the distraction stuff, obviously not the Tupac hologram stuff, but the distraction stuff is in the comic, but in a different position to where it appears in this episode.
Right. Okay.
Also, a raid, I don't think, is in this bit of this story at all at this point.
So they're just trying to get him out of it earlier.
Yeah, and Kalaya gets a load more stuff to do.
Right, okay.
But the essential big points of the battle, the duplicate, the appearance of Giri and his various appearances, and then the bit at the end with our dark magician going, turn up and going, what a load of hogwash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going like, oh, the plot's actually quite simple.
Yes.
It can be easily resolved.
It was all about the journey, after all.
It was in you all along.
Magic inside you.
Yeah.
I like the way the characters were perfectly happy with that.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And the show was.
That checks out.
The credits were about to start rolling. Those was going to be the last episode before she showed up and said. That was great.
I love the splitting the party too. I want to use that in a campaign with lawful characters just to fuck with them. You know what I mean? It's like, it's men and women, guys.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You got to split the party. I'm sorry.
Yes, because the entrances were toilets.
That's right. And then they're kind of surprised to see your man in the girl's toilets. They're like, ugh.
Get out of here, crazy old man.
But obviously there's the raid Nike fight has got a load of great animation in it.
Yeah, so good.
And the Cookery Kai one's got a load of decent animation as well.
As your one said, it's like, what an amazing wizard battle. You know, it's yes. Like pots and all kinds of crazy ass shit has been summoned.
Yeah, because the key with that battle is she breaks the staff, but Juju convinces her that she can just use her finger. Like,
she used it before, so I'll do it again. And it's kind of resolution to that, even where like Kai is like, okay, you are the master of one dark magic, and I'm the master of the other, and we will prove it right here and now, which is the stronger. I will defeat Guru here and now. And it seems like, oh yeah, fucking this fucking serious shit happens here, where he pulls out his top spell and seems to have obliterated Kukri. In actuality, it's like, oh, actually, that was my buy double that was thrown out all the spells earlier on. And it's like, but what does that mean? Yeah, but hey, hear me out. Okay, that was still a buy double of me throwing a lot of spells at you, which we've well, I would have done anyway, where we're me anyway. So we still got to see what we like if you want to beat me, you know? So good for you, okay?
So, and he friend, still goes like, a good wizard always has one last spell up his sleeve. And they both have barely any magical power, and they both like, pow! And it's like, all right, draw.
Yeah, it's a rare bit of deviousness from Cookery, because she pretends that her first spell didn't work.
But her first spell was just her summoning her clone, yeah.
Yes. And giving it the barrette to wear in her hair. Anything much more to add to it?
As well, like, again, the kind of similar trying to tie things off with Raid, and it's like, it's right there. It's kind of the whole ending thing now. For you know, my name is Cookery, by the way, so you can just call me that instead of like Pink Bomb. You know, it's all right. And it's trying to kind of let him off easy. And then they depart for their final battle, and it's like then Raid is sort of kind of going in tears to like his dad and saying, the girl I like dumped me.
I did like your man going like, I'm glad you held it together for that whole bit, you know. You didn't wuss out at the end, so yeah, it's okay to cry now.
Yeah, and then they face Giri. He turns out to be Outberg.
Oh, or all along, old man, I can't believe you would, but no, that's dumb. What if he was a loincloth? No, that's dumb. What else don't we like?
Poorly drawn looking demon.
Nah, that's too obvious.
But then the guy who was sealed up on the island shows up and explains that the Giri was just a creation of the Guru.
Because you wanted to meet your hero and go on an adventure, yes. And so we have to have an ultimate final boss, so you Guru'd a final boss to defeat.
Of things you didn't
it's
like.
So clear!
Yes. And they're all like perfectly okay with this, looking back at all the happy memories they've had together. Yeah. And then your woman who hides her name shows up.
Dark Lady.
Yes. Is the poodle with her?
I think so. I think she's holding him again.
Yeah.
Because he's an indoor dog.
He's definitely with her in the comic. Yeah, shows up to pour water on this theory.
That's a load of bunk.
And then we get to be continued. We're like, oh, excellent, there's another episode. I mean, I really, really like the end of this episode. It's such a great... Because it feels like a twee, convenient end of a story that this type of story quite often has.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I could have easily done it, and it would have been like, yeah, I guess that flies with this kind of show.
But yeah, at the same time, but having someone come along and say, no, you're being tricked. The villain is so evil, he's actually trying to trick you into doing something like this.
Yeah, but that's Guru like, through and through, where it's just, it upends your expectation, you know, it kind of, one, cuts through all of the kind of cliche, like, stuff you've seen this a million times in other shows, to have, and then forms its own, like, unique plot lines and twerves of its own.
It specifically has a character who reacts poorly to cliches, just for that very reason.
Yes. Which he does at one point severely in this episode as well. But the ending reminded me of the people who think that One Piece is going to be, One Piece was friendship. No, it's not.
It's going to be a big weapon, dude.
No, he said that, no, it's not going to be a mirror. It's not going to be any of that kind of shit. It's going to be a full thing. It'll be really cool.
Yeah. I mean,
it'll probably also be stupid because it is, One Piece. But yeah, it'll be a thing.
Yes, I know. But the end of this reminded me of those sort of discussions that people had, particularly of people who don't really watch One Piece.
Right.
Think that's what's going to happen at the end. Okay, on to Blood Blockade Battlefront, Episode 11, Spectral Eyes, Phantom Vision, Part 1. Episode of which I am so... must be in tuned with the tone of the show at this point, is I thought I'd read this, but it's not until Volume 10, and I'm only up to Volume 7, so I can't have read it.
You just seen where the plot's going. I thought for the plot rearing its head again, it did a good job of making it entertaining.
But also, the thing I really liked it is how much it demystified the plot. Is that the guy who gave him the eyes is some sort of cosmic ophthalmologist.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, he's an ophthalmologist to the fucking ultimate gods and shit like that. He'd give fucking... one of those little guys from Dragon Ball. He gave them eye drops, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just the guy. They're still God's eyes, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
They're really cool.
These eyes are given out so people can witness great things happening, and then gods can see them through their eyes as some form of entertainment.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, this is beyond mortal understanding. So, to them, it seems like this massive... life-changing, world-changing event where, you know, it's just the guys, it's just like a regular thing that I'm kind of doing anyway.
But our villain is a creature who is, what did he describe it as? He's taking like an...
He's like a psychic parasite.
But he's trying to like take an itinerary of all of the... cosmic prostheses or something that he says.
There is a word like that, like the body parts or something.
Yeah, suggesting there's other things get removed and replaced as well as eyes. And he possesses an eye himself.
And he seems to be interested in Leonardo for having two eyes, I guess.
Yes. Because he offers to take one of them from him. In return for... It's like going to give him some information about who gave him.
He might
be
able to help out his sister and that kind of thing, since he seems to know information, more information.
He says revenge, doesn't he? I hope you get revenge. I can help you get revenge if you give me one of your eyes. But yes, he's sort of taken possession of this guy who's going to marry Leo's sister, which is suddenly a jolt to remind you that, these two characters are adults.
Yeah.
Which I kept thinking, from sure Leo is only a young lad climbing his way here. But like, oh gee, wait a minute.
He's a young man.
Yeah. He's just kind of runty. So
yeah.
It comes across that way.
So they're going to meet at this hotel, and everybody at Libra are super curious as to this meeting between brother and this sister they've heard so much about.
Like, it occurred to me two things. Number one, they're all like chatty Cathys in one regard or another, or at least concerned for their well-being. But number two, none of them have met his sister. No. And I was like, oh yeah, they would be curious.
So we get a very different side of KK in this episode.
Oh, it's fucking great. Very similar to her, like, following her son.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. But the way she's polishing that gun.
Just something to keep the hands idle, okay?
Sure.
And Zap doesn't get it. It's like, why is everybody making a big fuss about this fucking guy?
Zap does not pick up on social cues, though, as we find out later.
Because we like Leo better than you, Zap, that's why.
Yeah.
I love the kind of the lead up to it as well. It's like, you know, they come out of the lift and Leo's meeting his sister, and here's this guy. He's like, oh, he's very like he's very cordial and civil, and he's saying hello to Leo, shaking hands, and it seems all like a front. All
I was just waiting for him to pan up and for him to be like a very obviously a what do you call it, blood breed?
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of watching, but he's like, you know, okay, sure, you want to sit down, we'll get some tea or something like that? Okay, that sounds good to me. And they're kind of walking away, and he's just kind of walking down the hallway. It's like, none of you guys know us, none of you guys can see this. Okay. Oh, God.
That's
it's cool then, as the camera, one moves back to the shot, we see this walking strange being that's made out of coffins and knives, and it's got like a half mask and a hash, and it's just, we don't know where to begin looking at this thing. It's fucking... a cacophony of images.
He's got a good body of a spider. He's like a centaur spider type thing with his. But yeah. My favorite bit is the way that his face and his face in silhouette are two different faces.
Yeah, it's like it works differently depending on what way you're looking at it. With the half mask. Yeah.
What's that? I think I got this cool thing about vampires or something like that, or gods. It's like, I keep seeing this guy, and it's kind of look like I can only kind of see him at the corner of my eye, and it really bugs me.
Yeah, I know. I vaguely remember what you're referring to. But yeah, the key of the story is then he gets called out. He's got to help fight a blood brick. I can't say these words tonight.
Vampire.
Yes. A blood breed. And, he's frightened to show what his eyes can do when this guy's following around with his tiny drone.
Yeah, because it's like, he's never actually said that I would totally fucking kill your sister, but the implication is like, hey, I'll just stay back here with your sister. You know, don't try any shit.
Yeah.
And Michaela knows what's going on as well, because just the way she's kind of acting and some of that. And even when like she was on the phone before, there's a little kind of twitch of the hand on her lap while she was talking to him. But she knows there's something, obviously. She's making this phone call like under duress nearly. So she's trying to call her only family and see if they can get help with this.
And in the earlier bit when he's pretending to go to the bathroom and like your man's like, hey, you've been going to the bathroom a while. We better be heading back, huh, Leo? And Zap's going to go over. It's like, hey, man, do you mind if I fuck off? Because like nothing's happening here. And my girlfriends are calling and Leonardo's very obviously distressed. And he does not fucking notice.
This guy's he's putting him with his many knife arms to Zap's throat. He's fucking going off his usual rants like this. It's like,
yeah.
Dude, fuck off. Fuck off. Go away.
dear.
It's quite a good horror movie setup of the invisible monster that only you can see.
And you have all these powerful motherfuckers around you who can't do jack shit about it.
Because he also alters what other people see. Because he kills somebody in the hotel foyer, but everybody still sees that guy.
He's controlling everyone's eyes in the vicinity. So it's like, they can't see me. They can't see what the fuck I'm doing. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it all plays out next week with the final episode.
Good, yeah. And it was still funny, too, is... There was like, the starting bit when in the cafe where he's Skype calling like his sister, Skype called Michaela, and she drops the news he's getting married, and then he freaks out, and his god eyes start going berserk and attaching themselves to everybody in the internet cafe, and then
two people pull guns.
Gosh, they're pulling out guns and shoot their press up. They don't know what's happening, and then it blows up.
Seems like a hell of a slop kind of thing, yeah.
Rightio, Dragon Ball Super, episode 120, The Perfect Survival Attack. I give up reading. The Perfect Survival Tactic, Universe 3's Menacing Assassin.
Do you believe it combines?
Yes, I do believe it combines. So yes, it combines. They have to fight a combining robot. Well, but then there's Gohan, another robot as well. And also Dr. Hell Tenma. He's a little bit Dr. Tenma. He's a little bit Dr. Hell.
All hero.
Pepperoni. So, yes, we get Bolerator, Panchia, and Koitsuki fused together to make Koichiarator.
I wonder if they thought of the combined name first and then work backwards.
Quite possibly. And the other guy was...
the muscly robot.
Viara, yes.
Like, when the Sooner said, he just has a super defense and he waits for his opponents to tire it out. And I was like, he's fighting the androids guy.
Yes, yeah.
They
yeah.
specifically don't tire out.
It beat the nut the shit out of him. And I was like, your fucking big plan was just, like, let's keep hitting you? That's a pretty stupid plan, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show loves the androids.
Good.
Based off the preview, I think 18's up for the chop. I didn't see her in the preview. I'm really worried.
Yes, because while they manage to knock him out, they only knock the other guys back. And then we see in the preview that they turn into Ultraman next week.
I thought he was just going to explode himself and cheat.
It looks like they're going to fuse together. Pepperoni's going to fuse with the combined robot to
turn the Ultraman.
Yeah. Mm. We shall see. Otherwise, it was just a bunch of fighting with these robot dudes.
Yeah, some pretty good animation again.
It's decent, yeah.
It was Goku, Vegeta, and Gohan, wasn't it? Gohan was going to fight them on his own, but then...
Then they combine.
Yeah.
And Vegeta's like, well, technically they're three guys, so...
Yeah, we should help out. Thanks for helping me recover some stamina, son, says Goku.
I did like a Piccolo cheering from the sands. It's like, that's my boy!
Yes.
My son out there. They should have had Krillin be amazed by a combined robot because he's Luffy, and Luffy loves combining robots and cool shit like that.
But he's married Luffy now. He doesn't. That's childish things.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure Krillin would ever be excited by robots, even younger, because he was kind of the sensible one of the two when they were younger as well. So. I'm trying to remember anything else individual particularly notable that happened. Yeah, you got the thing with, as you say, with the leading for somebody to say, they've got limitless stamina.
Yeah.
Because they're androids, you dummy. You should have made better robots.
Like Dr. Jarrow.
Yeah. Well, and Beerus is impressed again when it seems like Gohan has knocked out the combined robot. It's like,
he's
good
learning
job,
everyone's
young man.
Name.
Or should I say, Gohan?
Yes.
He learned everyone's name just in time for them to be deleted. I do like their running down of the numbers as well. They're like, okay, we've got like six guys left, so we should be careful. Who's left? Well, you got those three guys. Oh, I guess we're beating them. Wait a minute. Isn't there another whole universe left?
Mm. Yeah, the nerdy Kai is, I think he's supposed to be deliberately an annoying nerd, isn't he?
I'm just sick of the angel going in, this is what the fucking robot just said. At one point, it just sounds like he's backing up or he's about to explode.
I hadn't realized until I got the little thumbnail on this week's episode on Crunchyroll, is the God of Destruction. There's a bit of the R2-D2 about him.
The head. Yeah, okay, yeah, I can see that.
And also the beeping. Yeah.
Sure.
I thought of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much else to add, apart from it was another Dragon Ball Super episode.
Yeah. Another one of these things where it's with this and the one following it could probably have been put together in one, but we gotta put it across too.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because after these guys are gone, it's just down to Jiren wiping most of the our heroes out until whoever's left.
We're at the top of the fight card now, so we're getting all the real matchups.
Yeah.
And we got to wait for Frieza to do something else. Is he going to?
Oh, yeah.
Frieza specifically says in this episode, I'll just stand back and watch again.
But in the preview, he's helping out in the fight. So, so obviously something... They're a big enough threat when they combine all together that Frieza's actually going to have to get off his ass and help these cursed Saiyans. But we also got the news that there's going to be a new movie.
Yeah.
All about the origins of... Is it of the Saiyans or of the Super Saiyans?
It's the origin of the Saiyans' strength and capacity for fighting.
Yeah. So I assume it's about the guy... who was mentioned in the Battle of Gods film. The first guy to become Super Saiyan God. And also, I believe, the first nice Saiyan. he's now, in an interview early this year, he did say that that's the same guy who was the first person to go Super Saiyan as well. He'd been mentioned in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay.
He has a name. I've forgotten it. I believe it's a reference to Brussels sprouts, though. And yeah, apparently he had like a team of heroic friends and would fight the evil Saiyans. So I don't know whether they'll be as brave as to just do a full flashback or whether they'll just somehow... There'll be a modern day plot which ties back into that, I guess. Would probably be what they'll do. And probably also tie in that new explanation of how Super Saiyans work that he published recently.
Everyone was really bugged about that, yeah.
Yeah, I think people worry that he's turning into George Lucas with his overthink in his idle hands.
Sure. The way I just interpreted like S cells or just Saiyan cells, yeah, you need to have Saiyan blood of some regard.
Yeah. I think you're probably just explaining that yes, when it's mixed with human blood though, you can do it fast, everything becomes quicker and quicker. And you become more powerful. You can become more powerful more quickly.
I can't prefer the vague tingly feeling that Universe 6 took.
Yes.
Oh, it's a tingly feeling in your back. Cool.
Well, I assume that's just because they're both aberrations in Universe 6, aren't they? It's like one is clearly a legendary Super Saiyan, even though no such thing has been explained yet. And the other one is the only rowdy Saiyan in their universe. So clearly that's why she can do it a lot quicker than everybody else. Because there's already something essentially wrong with her brain compared to everyone else. Anything else about Dragon Ball? I think that's everything this week covered. It was a fairly simple episode to cover. Right, we're going to be back after Christmas. And I'm trying to think, don't think there'll be anything new airing before we come back.
I don't believe so. I think most is starting on... Oh, if anything is starting, it would be on the... the 5th?
The thing... let me have a look at my calendar. I've got put some things in my calendar already.
Would it be on the 8th? Somewhere across that weekend. Even though I'd say it'd probably be the week of the 8th, I'd say.
Yes, right. So the things I've got happening before the 8th on my... Maybe I'll watch them list. Obviously, we've got all of Devilman Crybaby.
Two settings.
We got on the Friday the 5th, we've got Junji Ito Collection starts.
Yeah.
Saturday the 6th, we've got Sanrio Boys. And then Sunday the 7th, we've got Cardcaptor Sakura returning and Pop Team Epic starting.
Oh, yes, that's happening then. Has that been picked up by anybody? Anybody word on that?
I don't know. Funimation and Crunchyroll announced a bunch of stuff, didn't they? But I don't think it was on that yet.
Wasn't there.
Funimation new anime. If I stick that into news, that's bound to give me something. They've got Junji Ito Collection.
Yeah.
And Cardcaptor Sakura, for sure.
It sounds like making a bigger fighter thing instead of their other competing is like other sure. things like get all these like different licenses every season now, so they kind of get in soon and get these out.
They've sorted out their sale to Sony as well, haven't they? So that's probably also settled things down and probably made them more self assured about grabbing stuff. Oh, they got Darling in the Franxx.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing of interest to us. Oh, Basilisk, the Uka Ninja Scrolls.
Give it a look, yeah.
Not the Kogan Ninja Scrolls, some other Ninja Scrolls. Yeah, those are the things that's of interest to me, at least. Yeah, so there'll be a few things in the week immediately after that. I don't know how many things we're going to have to do two episodes of. That's the thing. Is there might be two Dragon Balls, I guess. If I had to
get all that Bono to catch up on, at least.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got Christmas, so I'm not working from Friday onwards, so I can spend all that time watching Bono.
Nice.
I'll be in work, but there won't be anything happening, so I'll avail of this time to indulge some extracurricular activities.
See, I took a day off on Friday because I know if I work on Friday, then I get everybody's last minute jobs coming into me on the Friday.
So
I figured I'll take a day off, an extra day off earlier. But then I had a bunch of emails come in today that people had forgotten to look at earlier in the month. I was like, can you look at this, Brian, quickly? Sorry for not sending it to you sooner. It's like, Christmas. Righty-ho, as this comes out, next week on Dynamite in the Brain, it will be our end-of-year quiz that we've already recorded. Niall is part of it, despite my introduction where I forgot to include him.
New challenger approaches.
It might be the last time I do that quiz. I'm going to come up with a different way of doing a year in review next time.
Mm.
I don't know what it will be yet. I heard something today on another podcast that I may just steal. So,
would you go back to the categories again, or
I might go back? I think that it'd probably go back to the categories, but it'd be more like the thing I heard today, which was not an anime podcast. I never steal from anime podcasts because I don't listen to other anime podcasts. I will steal from other podcasts which aren't anime and apply them to anime, and then it doesn't feel so much like stealing. We will see. I've got an entire year to think about it, but I want to move on from that quiz in the same way I moved on from doing the Christmas episode reviews for a Christmas podcast. Don't know what to do next time, because we did the anime advent calendar that you can listen to that Dwayne was a part of, almost 2 hours of it.
Yeah, that ran.
It did. It's well worth a listen though for how far off the rails Anthony gets from the rules.
Sure, just throw it on.
You still do an anime podcast, right? You're not like putting in other stuff on the side and mixing them up.
No. It's an anime podcast for sure.
Yeah. Just checking. No, I'm just checking. Right.
It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun doing it, particularly Anthony trying to justify some of his choices on the fly. Anything coming up on Secret of the Sailor Madness, guys?
We have our annual tradition of talking about Christmas Carol adaptations. And this year's one, is a doozy. It is The Stingiest Man in Town, starring Walter Matthau from Studio Topcraft and Rankin Bass, who previously talked about when we did The Hobbit and their version of The Return of the King, which are four Lauren Potato Men who kind of make an appearance here.
potato related, sure.
Yeah. but that's a fun time. We actually look forward to that coming before the big day happens.
Righty-ho, so we will be back in the new year with more Let's Go. Goodbye.
Wait. Merry Christmas, everybody.